Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the week. I know that's sad. I'm sad. You're sad. We all know Jewish producer Chris is sad. Let's discuss something important. The question was about foreign money. Soros money. Foreign influence. Things like that. One, remember, Soros money, sadly, is no longer foreign money because he's now an American citizen as well. But let's dig into this. The question itself, how do we get this out of our AG races? How do we stop this? The fact that we even ask questions like this just shows how neutered the right has been. Not that you're neutered for asking the question, but it's a no-brainer. You pass a law and you ban it. If you don't want George Soros and his Open Society Foundation, it's more his dirtball son, but whatever. If you don't want the Soros money and their dirtball commie money from their dirtball commie organization, if you don't want their money involved in your AG races, then you pass a law and ban them from it. And to take it a step further, why is George Soros or his son, why have they not been banished from the shores of America? And see, here's what will happen when I ask that question. Not just from the commies. People on the right will say things like, but George Soros is a citizen. He's an American citizen. Okay. Why? Take that away from him. Okay, you're no longer a citizen, and now you're banned from America. Goodbye. If you ever come back into our country, you will be immediately placed under arrest and you will go on trial and you will go to prison. Oh, Jesse, that violates his rights. Americans, especially the American right, have no idea how to preserve freedom because they think the right has always thought this. They think that freedom is something you preserve by practicing it. And that's not at all how you preserve freedom. You preserve freedom by aggressively attacking those who want to take it from you. That's how you preserve freedom. But the weenie, low-T, neutered American right has for years gone with that's not who we are. We can't do that. Jesse, what about the Constitution? Jesse, we're not allowed. Jesse, that wouldn't be right. Jesse, what do the founders say? I don't give a crap what the founders say. I don't give a crap what the Constitution says. Does that make you uncomfortable? I don't. I care about saving my country from the communist hordes who are burning it down. Pass a law, banish the entire Soros family from America, and promise them if they ever come back, they will be thrown in a dark hole for the rest of their lives. Period. End of story. Now, that being said, if I have to add one little disclaimer onto the end of it, there is something we say, something you've probably said. I guarantee it's something I've said. So I can't speak for you, but for me, I don't remember saying it. I bet I said something like this at some point in time. We need to get money out of politics. We got to get this money out of politics. I wish money wasn't involved. Money's always been involved. Let's not be kids. Let's not be children. Money has been involved in politics since, well, the beginning of politics. I wasn't there For the first time, a little village was formed. After Adam and Eve and the earth starts to get populated and we get some people there, the first time someone decided to start a little village, a couple little mud huts or something like that, they had to decide leadership of that village. Who would lead? How are we going to lead it? Money was involved. Now, it may not have been coin money. It may have been cattle. It may have been sheep. It may have been other resources, because maybe you're saying right now, but Jesse, what about warlords? Well, in any given area, who do you think the warlord is? You walk into Somalia, and you walk into an area, specific part of Somalia, and you find out that this warlord is in charge. We'll call him Bob. How did warlord Bob get the job? How did he get to be the leader? Bob was the one with the most guns, most rocket launchers, most grenades, most mines. What I'm trying to say is we can't be naive. We can't ever think that money will be removed from politics. It will just find a way around whatever laws you pass. Look, this even applies to the Soros stuff I just said. You can try and should try, but money will find a way into people's pockets. They've tried this before. They tried this at the federal level. Campaign finance reform. No more buying elections. In fact, there's now I don't know what it is now. I'm sure it's higher because I think it goes up every 2 years. But back when I was running for Congress in Arizona, remember when I got out of the Marines, I ran for Congress in Arizona twice, lost twice. But there was a limit on what an individual can give you to run for office. So if Jewish producer Chris would ever actually want to spend money on something, and let's say he was rich and he wanted to support Jesse Kelly for Congress, and I think we all know he probably would, he can't just come and stroke me a $50,000 check. Here you go, Jesse. Big believer. Love you. Love what you do. He can't. It's not allowed. The max back then was $2,400. That was all he could do. Well, did that take the influence of money out of politics? No. In fact, let's take it a step further. Did it take the influence of Jewish producer Chris out of politics? No. He just called all of his friends. Instead of Chris writing me a $50,000 check, he burned up the Rolodex, got all of his friends together for a party, a bar mitzvah or something like that, or whatever it would be. And we all got together and we ate those little latkes or whatever they are. And all of his friends wrote me $2,400 checks. But let's say Chris wanted to do more. He's a big believer. The Jesse Kelly campaign. And I think we all know he would be a big believer. He wanted to do more. Chris just started a pack. He just started a Jewish producer Chris pack, the JPC pack, where Chris will, quote, separate from the campaign, he'll just run a $50,000 TV ad by telling everybody that I walk on water and my opponent is the Antichrist. We didn't remove any money from politics with that big campaign finance law. Just pushed it around. We just got to move things around. That makes sense? Speaking of moving things around, I got to play this again. Credit to old Ted Cruz. Chris, cut number 14. I greatly enjoyed listening to Ted Cruz blast away at the assistant director of the FBI. Go.
Last month, a whistleblower brought to light the existence in the FBI of a report, an FD 1023, in which the informant alleges that President Biden and his family members engaged in a $5 million bribery scheme during his time as vice president. Deputy Director Abadi, is it true that the FBI has a report making those allegations?
I'm not going to comment on that, Senator.
And why is that?
I'm just not going to comment on information we received, investigations, or
you owe an
matters.
Obligation to the American people to be candid about evidence of corruption by the President of the United States?
This is an area that I'm not going to get into with you, Senator.
Well, I understand you don't want to, and that's why people are mad at the FBI, because you're stonewalling and covering up serious allegations of evidence of corruption from the president. Yesterday, Senator Chuck Grassley stood on the Senate floor and alleged that there are 17 recordings of this informant from Burisma, Ukrainian Natural Gas Company, 15 of them are recordings, voice recordings of him talking to Hunter Biden. 2 of them are voice recordings of him talking to Joe Biden. Deputy Director Abate, does the FBI have 17 voice recordings laying out evidence of a bribery scheme?
Senator, I would add also that we've worked with the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah, this is the Senate. We're the other side of the Capitol. This is the Senate. Do you have those 17 recordings?
I'm not going to comment on any investigative matters, Senator.
That is exactly why trust in the FBI is now below 50% and free-falling. And just a heads up, the FBI cannot properly do its job without the trust of the people, and the trust is gone, and that's a good thing. All right, now we have to address a little bit of child trafficking stuff that might be a little bit heavy. Somebody has an Ask Dr. Jesse question about taking up arms, and much, much more still to come. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, before I get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. And I have a bunch I do want to get to, so I'm going to hurry through this. I just want to play this Holly clip really quickly, only because I want to acknowledge, I want us all to remember and keep in our prayers the people in horrible situations all around us. People we don't think about. People we don't even know about very much. Chris, play cut 17, please. Go.
Let's look at some of the things that we've learned about what's going on over at HHS that Secretary Becerra is doing. Here's some quotes from employees. At least 5 Health and Human Services staff members said that they were pushed out after raising concerns about child safety. This is all from the New York Times, by the way. Mr. Becerra told the Office of Refugee Resettlement Director that if she could not increase the number of discharges of children, he'd find somebody who would. Next, 20% of kids have to be released every week or you get dinged. It's a conveyor belt of children being forced through the system. And what's the priority of HHS? Just get them out as fast as we can. They go to factories. They go to slave labor. I've written to the FBI and asked the FBI, where are the 80,000 plus children this administration's lost? They don't know. I've said, it's your responsibility to go get them. It's a direct violation of child labor laws. They're not doing anything. Nobody's doing anything. It's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. And the fact that the administration won't come and sit there and answer questions to this committee is absurd. And it is nothing more than cowardice. They don't want to answer questions. They don't want to be responsible. They don't want to take responsibility for this. So let the record reflect that this administration has let tens of thousands of children be sold into slavery, and they are doing nothing about it.
That slavery these kids are going through, these little illegal immigrant kids, it's happening all around us, and there's nothing you can do about it right now, but just keep them in your prayers. That's it. All right, let's get back to this. When is it appropriate to take up arms against our communist overlords? I know everyone says to be peaceful and legal in our actions. However, there will be a breaking point at which violence is the only alternative. This is the essence of why we have the Second Amendment. There will be an inflection point beyond which there is no return. I understand that once militias start being formed in states, conflict is inevitable. Given the horror that will ensue if the communist takeover is realized, civil war is the lesser of two evils. I am at a loss on this, and your perspective is appreciated. Literally, he says. All right, well, let me give you some perspective. 1, civil war is so unspeakably horrible that it should be the last thing you ever want. That's 1. 2, we are not even close as a nation to being to the point where that is necessary. Do you know what? I'll tell you this. I will agree with you that it's time for civil war if something happens. All right, you ready for this? You ready? I will agree with you that it's time for civil war when Republicans start showing up in mass, not 20%, which they do, when 80, 90% of Republicans show up to vote in their primaries, and they show up and vote out the Republicans who are currently in office, our United States senators, our United States congressmen, our state reps, our state senators, once we've taken back our city councils, once we've taken back our school boards, when Republicans care enough to roll out of bed on Saturday morning and go down to the polls when they have nothing else to do and vote for a critical city council election or a school board seat. And once we've done all that, once we care enough that we're showing up in droves at the polls and we still haven't seen any significant change, I will stand here. I will sit here behind the microphone and I will break the law and say, it's time to take up arms. But we don't do that. In fact, we don't even come close. I'm going to move on because you've heard me rant about this a million times, but let's be honest with ourselves. Let's look at ourselves in the mirror here. 20% participation in primaries? We complained about this vote or that vote or this spending bill or that spending bill, and 80% of us sit at home? And what's worse than that, what's actually even criminally worse than that, the 20% who do show up, the vast majority of them show up and vote for the piece of trash that's currently in office. And then we go complain about rhinos. We want to talk about taking up arms and civil war. We can't even show up at the polls. Normie Norm, let me know when Normie, now I'm not talking about you, obviously, but let me know when Normie Norm cares enough to get up out of bed in Texas on a Saturday morning like we just had that last election. You've heard me rave about it. Normie Norm didn't care enough on Saturday morning to drive down and vote for a critical city council seat. And the correct candidate lost by 300 votes, if I remember right. Less than 2,000 votes even cast. Less than 2,000. Normie Norm at home talking about civil war. It's time to take up arms. Couldn't throw on his loafers. Shoot, he could have wore house slippers. Got in his car and drove 5 minutes down to the local church where the election was to press a couple buttons on the computer. We don't care enough to show up at local elections, to change our school boards, to change our city councils. We don't care enough to show up in primary elections. We show up and vote for idiots like John Thune and Lindsey Graham and John Cornyn. And look, Alabama, I'm not even indicting just those states, Alabama, Mississippi, you name it. We don't care enough to show up and do the basics. We're a million miles away from caring enough to do anything beyond that. All right? All right. I've been behind. I've been lax. It's serious Ask Dr. Jesse time. But look, we are apparently too weak to even vote. Look, I talk about testosterone levels, about how we need to get them back up so we could repopulate this country and raise families and things like that. Maybe I should stop with that. Maybe I should start with the bare minimum. Forget about raising families and being stronger and having more willpower and raising kids. Maybe I should just start with, hey, take a male vitality stack from Chalk so you'll actually get up and vote in the morning. So we'll actually show up in primary elections and vote against the guy who's currently in office. Maybe we should just focus on getting our T levels up to that. Let's baby step. Let's crawl before we can walk. Get your neighbor, Normie Norm, to chok.com, chok.com. Tell him to use promo code Jesse because he gets 35% off subscriptions and you get 35% off the lifetime of the subscription. So it's crazy. Don't pay full price. Male vitality stack for your neighbor and you. Female vitality stack. Chok.com, promo code Jesse.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can download the whole show on podcast if you missed even a second of it. Go download it at iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes, all right? All right, we have so many Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Jesse, I got the Anti-Communist Manifesto for Father's Day. I read it first. Haha. That's what he says. My question is, at what point do you move to another state? I reside in PA. I got out of Philadelphia and in the suburbs where it's red. But am I on borrowed time? Yes. Everyone in a blue state is on borrowed time. I know that sucks. I don't take any pleasure in saying that. I just left Pennsylvania yesterday. As I explained to everyone in Pennsylvania, that's my stomping ground. That's where I'm from, really, that Rust Belt area. I love it. I even think it's beautiful. The rivers and the trees. I love it. Get out. And remember, there's a time limit. There is a time limit. They're not going to let you out. Obviously, this guy says, I'm just going to churn through these. Obviously, banning gas stoves is part of the communist plan to starve and freeze us high T Jesse listeners, freeze us high T Jesse listeners who will refuse to give up our gas stoves after the low T Republicans stand by and passively approve the ban when communists come for our stoves. I know House Republicans just passed a just for show bill to reverse the gas stove ban, which they know will die in the communist run Senate. How can we fight back in low-T, normie-norm, communist-run states like Pennsylvania, where the ban is probably coming quickly? Guy said he can't put the book down. Well, I just accidentally answered your question with the email beforehand. You cannot. If there was a way, I would tell you. I'm not saying that smugly or happy about that. Sorry, you can't. You're screwed. Then if you're in a blue state, remember, because of what's happened to the Democrats, there are no more brakes. The brakes on the car, I mean. The brakes are gone. Someone cut the brake lines, and the emergency brake is broken. There's no guardrails. There's no brakes. There's no stopping it. There's no mechanism in place to stop it. The Blue Dog Democrats are all gone. And if there is a, quote, moderate Democrat left in office anywhere at the state or federal level, they are so intimidated by the radical nut jobs who now form the power base and the financial base of their party that they can't do anything to stop it, even if they wanted to. It's what I warned New Yorkers about when it came to Eric Adams. It's what I warned all of America about when it came to Joe Biden. People tried to comfort themselves. Well, I mean, he's more moderate than some of the others. None of that matters at all. Whether he's moderate, not moderate, he's not running anything now. The moderate ones, they don't have any say at all. Jesse, any truth to the rumor that Chris was your ghostwriter? We don't address rumors here on this show. Jesse, I hear people saying Trump has good Secret Service, so he's good. It takes one compromised Secret Service to leave an opening for a crazed Trump hater. Does everyone forget Lee Harvey Oswald? Thoughts? Okay, she's worried about Trump's safety. I, too, am worried about Trump's safety. I'm not talking about his Secret Service agents. I worry about his safety because corrupt systems, as I've said 1,000 times, have a way of destroying system disruptors. Now, I think they will settle for jail. Shoot, they might even just settle for him not running, I guess, maybe. Chris, cut 23 is interesting. I thought this was a little interesting. 23, go.
What would Donald Trump do to avoid jail time? I literally suppose that he would do anything. And if it's going to come to him avoiding jail time, now that this indictment exists, he's either going to have to win in court. Defending yourself against these charges by saying, yes, I did it, is not a great defense. And so how else can you avoid jail time? Well, you can plead in exchange for lenience. And we've seen lots of people, including Reality Winner, a very high profile case, plead in exchange for lenience and still get jail time. What can he offer prosecutors other than his confession, his cooperation? I mean, this is a crime he could only commit because he was in high public office. Spiro Agnew used that as a get out of jail free card. It was not just that he was vice president. It was that prosecutors assumed he was about to become president because Nixon was teetering. They were right. And in order to keep Agnew out, they traded him essentially jail time for his resignation. I'm not saying that's what the DOJ should agree to. I'm not saying that's what Trump should try for or that what his defense should offer it. I'm not even saying if it would be good or bad for the country. I'm just saying the one other time we've dealt with this as a country, that's how we did it.
The system, I do not believe, would settle for that at all. That was Rachel Maddow. I do not believe the system would settle for Trump dropping out of the race. I believe that they want to make an example of Trump. And the reason I believe this is from what they've done with the January 6 political prisoners, who we have been speaking for on this show since they became political prisoners. Not just Johnny Come Lately. We've been standing up and speaking for these patriots for a long time and how they've been abused by our justice system. But they've been abused by our justice system as an example to others, trying to make sure others are too scared, trying to make sure others quiet down. I don't think the system would settle for Trump simply not running. I don't think that's enough for them at all. I don't necessarily agree with that. Dear Oracle, oh, and by the way, to answer your question, I have worried for a very long time that the system would hurt Trump physically. I've said this before on the show. It's not going to be any shock to anybody who's been listening for a while. There is a school of thought out there, and I kind of agree with it, that I believe Trump losing re-election, I believe it may have saved his life. Now, you can roll your eyes at that and say I'm a conspiracy theorist. Ask JFK about it. Dear Oracle, I am almost finished with your book. I'm dyslexic, so having it on Audible was such a relief. Thank you for teaching this 50-year-old dime things I never knew. My question is, how did the soldiers during the Civil War organize? How long did it take? Without the internet, I can't imagine. You are a guru with history, and I know you will know. Thanks, and her name is Tracy. Well, one, it's a fascinating question. I thought about this when I was working construction, especially after I got out of the Marines. By the time I got out of the Marines, cell phones had taken on. Now, they were nothing like these amazing smartphones we have now, but cell phones had really taken on. And you know my dad was in construction, and his dad before him was in construction. We're a construction family. And I actually asked the same question to my dad one time, because we would be out on a project, and if you needed something from someone, hey, we got to go get this, we got to go get that, you just pulled out your cell phone and you called. If you had to have a meeting with the inspectors or somebody, you just pulled out your cell phone, you just called, or you sent a text, and you arrange a meeting. And I asked my dad, because it was fascinating to me, I said, how in the world did you exist in this construction world when you didn't have the ability to get a hold of people in your pocket? And he just looked at me and he said, well, we were more organized. Period. End of story. You were more organized. When it came to things like communication from back in the day, organization was such a priority, much more so. And I'm glad you asked the question, because I've always found it to be fascinating. How did they do this? How did they do that? There were runners back then. Things were communicated via horseback back then. Communication got done as fast as a horse could travel. But then there's more than that. Let's say I'm a General Fussy Britches, and I'm trying to organize a militia. Forget a militia. I'm trying to organize a unit, and we're conscripting people. We're basically drafting people. We're conscripting people into my unit. And everybody in my unit in Virginia, I'm going to need everyone to come join my army. I have to send a horse to a town, disseminate that information, and then give the men of that town a time limit they have to come join me in Virginia. And you have to include all that information, all of it, the time limit, the punishment, everything, with the original communication. It's actually very fascinating. I guess maybe not to you, but to me, I nerd out on that, because I love these questions. I always thought the exact same thing. You know what else I think? I think we should take care of widows and orphans. Before I get to the rest of these Ask Dr. Jesse questions, I'll try to churn through them. I think that Gold Star widows, their children, I think they deserve to be helped, because how much did they give up for this country? They gave up dad forever. They gave up a husband forever. Same thing with first responder families. The men, women who die in the line of duty, their families give up something forever. Tunnel to Towers tries to help forever. They pay off mortgages, easing the financial burden, because that is such a brutal burden if you ever talk to these families. And we help them do it. You're $11 a month. That's what helps Tunnel to Towers do what they do. That's caring for widows and orphans. Sign up to give it automatically. That way you'll never think about it. You'll never know it's gone. It's $11 a month. If you go to T2T.org, that's how you do it. T2T.org. Sign up to give $11 a month. Let's make sure we're letting these families know someone cares. Because oftentimes they feel lonely and like no one cares. And like dad's gone and no one gives a crap. But I know you. I know I do. T2T.org. As many questions as I can get to. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Why? Red Lobster. Turns out there are Red Lobsters down here in Florida, and I have located one, and I'm going to be eating it one soon. And I know you make fun of me for how much I love Red Lobster, but I actually have not eaten at one. And I think in 2 or 3 weeks, it's been all kinds of book stuff and it's been crazy. And I can almost taste the cheddar base now. Gosh, it's outstanding. All right, hold on. I have to get to all these questions. There's a lot of them. Jesse, you may have previously covered this topic. If 2024 Biden steals the election again and he steps down a few months later and cackling Kamala moves up, who then will she pick as VP? Is she obligated to pick a congressman or senator? Would she pick Newsom or would she bypass him not to be overshadowed? What about Joaquin Jeffries? She would pick who she's told. Remember, these people aren't in charge. Joe Biden isn't in charge. Dome isn't in charge of anything. Dome would pick whoever she was told. Because remember, especially Dome, this really, really applies to her. Dome is just a nakedly ambitious human being. Maybe the most nakedly ambitious human being ever in politics. She cares for nothing. No country, no nothing. Nothing matters to Dome at all. All that matters is being nakedly ambitious. All that matters is the next thing. Once you gave her the presidency, you could make her do whatever you wanted her to do. And she would do it. She would absolutely do it. Jesse, if you could choose any one of our presidents from history to deal with today's problems, who would you choose? Genghis Khan. Dear world famous and newly number one world famous author, I know you say polls don't matter this early, but do you think as we get closer to the primary with all the stuff going on with Trump, do you think people will wake up to the fact that DeSantis has a better chance of beating Biden or whoever the Democrats put in the race? Okay, his name is Mike, and he obviously is a DeSantis guy and wants to get rid of Trump. People do not vote. This is something both parties, every side, every fan of every candidate gets wrong every single election cycle. People do not vote strategically. They don't. I'm not saying people are stupid. I am not saying that at all. People vote based on what they're passionate about. What are they passionate about? What matters to you? I've outlined for you many times what the issues are that I am passionate about and the issues that will decide who gets my primary vote. I've outlined those things a million times. And my issues are different than your issues. I care about what you say about COVID lockdowns and the vax stuff, and I care about the FBI. Those are my big, I'm passionate about those issues. And therefore, it doesn't matter what the candidates say. It doesn't matter what the strategy is. That will decide by vote. Now, let me preface that by saying you're a hyper-informed voter, so you will probably combine passion with strategy because there's a bit of that with me. I've been very honest with you. I'm not voting for anybody in the primary unless their name is Trump or DeSantis. I'm not. I've told you that several times. That's what I believe. That's who has the infrastructure in place to possibly win. Look, if you're a Trump hater, and this guy obviously is not a big fan, bum you out, I guess I should say. But people don't vote that way. They do not vote that way, as much as you want them to. Dear world famous and newly number one world famous author, I know you say pull. Oh, never mind. I just read that one. That's stupid. You're stupid, Chris. Are Ruskies stupid? They aligned with Hitler and he stabbed them in the back. The Chinese are allowing the Ruskies to deplete their war capabilities, then stab them in the throat to steal their oil and take their territory and allow their soldiers to take their dimes. Any thoughts? China is not going to invade Russia. China needs Russia because China needs Russia's national resources. Russia cannot be taken. They cannot be taken because we have entered an era. Well, for one, they could never be taken before because of the stupid weather and how big the place is. But they can't be taken now because of how many nuclear weapons they have. If you have that many nuclear weapons, you may lose wars, don't get me wrong, but the country will never fall. Why? Because as soon as it was about to fall, you just nuked the planet. Why wouldn't you nuke the planet? It's of course. Hey, Jesse. I love the show. Howdy, Jesse. I love your show, the funniest on radio. I remember not too long ago when the Olympics did the spot or on-spot DNA tests on athletes to determine their actual sex prior to them being allowed to play in women's sports. Apparently, DNA tests don't work for that anymore. Look, it's one of the things about the tranny stuff. It's actually it's a power move by the communists. Everyone knows the truth. Everyone knows a dude can't become a woman. Everyone knows a woman can't become a dude. Everybody knows. Everyone knows. Science knows. The DNA test knows. You know. I know. You can tell by their hands, for Pete's sake. Everyone knows. But if me, a communist, if I can get you to say the sky is green, whether you believe it or not, if I can make you too scared to say, no, no, the sky is blue, then I own you. And that's true power. I own you. Jesse, no funny name calling or cute comments, right to the point. I heard you say on air to send your emails, love, hate, death threats. I thought it would put it all into sharper perspective if you read some of the negative emails that you receive, maybe in one of your segments between commercials on Friday. Heck, you can call it the Comic-Con segment. What do you reckon? I don't know. I've thought about that, actually. Should I read that stuff on air? And see, that's exactly right, Chris. Chris just said they're boring. They are boring. They're not entertaining. They're not even funny. It's a lot of, yeah, you're such a stupid beep, beep, beep. There's a lot of cuss words in it. You're such a stupid beep, 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 beep. You just love Trump. And there's no creativity in it. It's not entertaining at all. I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll put it to you that way. If we get a good one, I'll think about it. All right? Keep your chin up. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your family. Okay? Enjoy your family. That's all.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.